Father, I thank you. I thank you for the opportunity to be gathered in your house. Lord, what a blessing it is to have friends and family. What a blessing it is to see our church come together for this one purpose, to reach up in worship of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you for the unity we have in Christ. I thank you for the spirit of worship we have. And Lord, I pray we would lay down all distractions. Lord, as we get ready to look at our message this morning on making you the focus of our lives, Lord, even this little activity here during our welcome time, Lord, let it not be a distraction. Let it be something that's exciting to make your word come alive. We pray this morning that it would be about your word, be about your son, Jesus Christ, and it would be about the unity we have in reaching up and worshiping him. Lord, be with us this morning. Lead us as we worship you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah chapter 58. Boy, Hannah's pointed out to me, I've picked some really fun topics to preach on the last few weeks, haven't I? We talked about finances a couple weeks ago. Last week we talked about sin and pride and arrogance. And now this week we're talking about fasting. Can I make a confession? I'm pretty good at this fasting thing. I fast every single day from about midnight to 6 or 7 in the morning. Every single day I do. I don't eat during that time, rarely anyways. You know, I appreciate you helping me out during the welcome time and checking in. Many of you have done that. Many of you are still working on that. Some of you all figured it out. Others of you are scratching your head trying to figure it out, and that's okay. Others of you still are trying to figure out what the difference between a smartphone and a dumb phone is. Some of you all don't know what Facebook is, and that's okay. But from what I can gather, somewhere around half of the people here, if not today, at some point this week, have engaged our Facebook page online. Now, most of those people do so not from a computer, but from a phone. You know, everything is going mobile. Everything is turning into these teeny tiny little devices. And the devices are getting bigger, admittedly, but you think about the first computer you ever had. You think about putting that brick up on your desk and it took up the entire section or entire desk, and now you pull out of your pocket something that has, no lie, more power, more computing processing than the computers that sent the first man to the moon. And that's a true statement. You know, we become dependent on these things, don't we? Can I tell you my story of 3 days without a cell phone? About 2 weeks ago, I decided my phone battery was not doing well, and it was going to cost me about $75 to fix my phone. And I thought, I don't want to spend $75 to fix my phone. If I wait about 2 or 3 months, I can get an upgrade, and for that price, I'll get a brand new phone or somewhere around there, you know? And so I found online you can order a battery for $6. Well, you know what? I can pay $6. I also looked at the tutorial. If you have an iPhone, by the way, you're not supposed to open that thing. They make it. You have to have special tools, which thankfully my battery even came with special tools. You have to have special tools to get in there, and you void any warranty you have if you open it anyways. My warranty was gone anyways. I didn't have any extra coverage. I wasn't voiding anything because I didn't have anything. And I decided, the video says it's easy, a friend of mine who did it says it's easy, the reviews online say it's easy, and can I tell you, I replaced that battery perfectly. The battery worked perfect. Something else didn't work because the phone never turned on, but the battery, I was later told, was installed properly. And so my iPhone was dead. For 3 days, I decided it's my own mistake. I can do with just a flip phone. I went and I called my in-laws and I said, you guys used to have flip phones on your old Verizon plan. Can I borrow it? And no lie, he said, let me dig through the toy box and get it out of the stuff we've given to the kids. True. And for 3 days, I had a flip phone. And I thought, I can do this for a couple of months till I upgrade. I can do this. You know how long it was before I changed my tune and said I can't do this? I didn't make it the next morning. I came in, and Melissa can confess. She can tell you I was miserable. I didn't know what I was doing. She asked me for something, and I went to pull out my phone to check a date, and guess what? You don't have a calendar on your flip phone. Someone said they sent me an email, and I pulled out my phone to check my email. Guess what? You don't have email on your flip phone. Everything, it seemed like my world revolved around that phone. You know, we become dependent on things, don't we? By the way, I've remedied that. One good thing about Facebook, I couldn't do it from my phone, but I could do it from my other mobile devices. One good thing about Facebook is I found Joy Wesley, who had just upgraded and said, you can use mine until it's due for an upgrade. I'm back to the iPhone world. That's the best amen I've gotten in 4 months since I've been here. You know, we become dependent on things, don't we? We think we need things. And I'll be honest with you, for those 3 days I was without, it really felt like I needed that phone. Can I confess something to you? In those 3 days, I did not die. You know, I indeed survived that dilemma. But we get to where we become dependent on things, don't we? I tell Hannah all the time, I don't know what I would do without technology. I'm so dependent on it. I don't know the last time I've printed off a piece of paper to preach to you all. I've got all the sermon stuff I've needed since I've been here and actually for the last 2 years on a tablet. You know, I don't print anything off. I type it up and it's right here in front of me. It's interactive. If I need to get to a Bible verse quickly, I can jump there. And you become so dependent until it's gone. You don't realize how much you need it until it's not there any longer. Every year around the time of Lent, people are giving things up, aren't they? There's people all over the country, really all over the world, that for a window of time are giving up either technology or a certain food or whatever it may be. Traditionally, Baptists don't practice Lent. I've never practiced Lent. We don't give up anything. We hold on to everything as Baptists, don't we? But it's this idea that for a window of time, I will sacrifice something I need. I get a kick out of some things people give up. I'm going to give up candy for the next 40 days. Well, I think I could give up. Well, I don't know if I could, but in theory, I should be able to give up candy. You know, I'm going to give up watching the Nature Channel. Well, what about the other 300 channels you get? You know, I'm going to give up watching this little specific thing. But we become so dependent on things. This morning, we're going to talk about giving things up. We're going to talk about fasting. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you, there is a difference between fasting from a phone, which you think you need, and fasting from meals, which you actually need. You know, I can tell you right now, had I gone 3 days without eating, I would be in a much different place today than I would be 3 days without my phone. 3 days without taking a bite of anything to eat would have a very different effect on me. When we fast, it is more than just giving something up. It is realizing what we truly depend on. This morning, we live in a culture that depends a great deal on food. As a matter of fact, we live in a culture that doesn't even realize how important food is to us. A few weeks ago, I mentioned the movie Over the Hedge. Some of you all still have not seen it, and you need to go see the movie Over the Hedge. It's a cartoon movie in which these animals, these forest creatures, start seeing the need that people have for food. Make sure the volume's up on this, guys. I've got a short video of something that shows us how ridiculous our dependence on food is. We have this idea that we need food, and in this scene, you see these creatures walking around, and they're RJ the raccoon is explaining to them food, and he's talking about how people need food, right? There's food everywhere. And so he starts going through different things. He shows a door. This is where they carry the food in. This is where they carry the food out. This is a vehicle where they transport the food. Here's the vehicle that delivers the food, and a pizza man comes. Here's where they take the food away. They drive the food, and there goes a taco truck driving by. They wear the food. It's a guy dressed up like a lobster handing out flyers. They do everything with food. And then my favorite part is they go to the table, and it shows a family praying, and he says, this is the altar where they worship the food, you know? And then he says, what do they do with all that food when they're done with it? They put it in these gleaming trash cans just for us to forage through. It shows how much we even waste the food. We become so dependent on things, we don't even realize we need them anymore. We're surrounded with a culture that is dependent on things that we don't really need. A telling line in that short clip is RJ explains to them, do you think they have enough? And they all say yes. And of course he says, enough is never enough. This morning, as we look at fasting, I want to think about that phrase, enough is never enough. How many of you all have ever fasted for a religious reason before? Not because I'm having surgery or because I'm doing some medical thing, but I'm fasting because the Bible has commanded, and I'm going to give it a shot. A handful. Honestly, I never did until I started preparing for a fasting sermon a few years ago. And it's kind of a strange thing when you fast. You don't know really what to do. You just are hungry. And I often question, why do we fast? What's the purpose of fasting? I'm going to invite you, I'll go ahead and tell you, that next week our youth will be fasting from 8 o'clock in the morning on Saturday morning until noon after church. And I'm going to invite you to take part with them in that. Some of you all will, some of you all won't, and that's okay. Some of you all medically can't, and please don't put yourself in harm's way by fasting if you cannot do without eating. But I'm going to challenge some of you all, 6 o'clock in the morning. Boy, I'm going to have to eat breakfast early Saturday. I'm going to invite you all to fast with them. But I don't want you to fast just for the sake of not eating. I want to look this morning at what the purpose of fasting is. If you have your Bible, read with me in Isaiah 58, starting in verse 1. It says, "Cry out loudly, don't hold back, raise your voice like a trumpet. Tell my people their transgressions, and the house of Jacob their sins. They seek me day after day and delight to know my ways, like a nation that does what is right and does not abandon the justice of their God. They ask me for righteous judgments. They delight in the nearness of God." Verse 3, here's the people talking to God. "Why have we fasted, but have not seen? We have denied ourselves, but you haven't noticed." So the people are saying to God, "We're fasting. We're doing all the right things. God, why don't you see us?" God responds to them, "Look, you do as you please on the day of your fast and oppress all your workers. You fast with contention and strife to strike viciously with your fist. You cannot fast as you do today, hoping to make your voice heard on high." Now he says what the fast should be. "Will the fast I choose be like this? A day for a person to deny himself, to bow his head like a reed, and to spew out sackcloth and ashes. Will you call this a fast and a day acceptable to the Lord? Isn't the fast I choose to break the chains of wickedness, to untie the ropes of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and to tear off every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, to bring the poor and homeless into your house, to clothe the naked when you see him, and not to ignore your own flesh and blood? Then your light will appear like the dawn, and your recovery will come quickly. Your righteousness will go before you, and the Lord's glory will be your rear guard. At that time when you call, the Lord will answer. When you cry out, he will say, 'Here I am.'" This morning, I want to look at why we are called to fast, what the purpose of our fasting is. If you've never fasted before, maybe you say, "I'm never going to fast in my life." This is less of a message about not eating and more of a message about having a right heart and a right attitude before God. This morning's Sunday school lesson, we hit on something that I wanted to follow a rabbit trail on, and I didn't. In our class, it was talking about having the right attitude instead of just the right actions. I didn't follow a rabbit trail because that's the message this morning. Whether you fast or not, whether you go days without eating or whether you eat plenty, the message this morning is, do I have a right attitude before God? The first thing we have to realize is this: fasting is a discipline of attitude. Fasting is a discipline of attitude. It's about our heart being right. It's about doing what is right internally before we ever try to do anything right externally. The people of Israel fasted. As a matter of fact, Isaiah 58, it talks about the people of Israel denying themselves and not eating and going and striving for righteousness and doing all the right things. Those first two verses, they're a people who want to do what is right. I think all of us can fill in there. We all want to do what is right. But as they're doing all the right things, following the right steps, they still feel as if they're not close to God. They still feel separated from Him. Have you ever been there in life? "Lord, I'm checking off all the boxes. I mean, I'm reading my Bible. I'm praying regularly. I go to church when I can. I'm doing everything that I think I should be doing. Why don't we feel close? Why do I still feel distant from you? Why are you not answering my prayers the way I think you should answer them? Why are you not hearing me?" The people of Israel had this question. As a matter of fact, in Isaiah 58:3, they asked just that. "Why have we fasted, but you have not seen? We've denied ourselves, but you haven't noticed." Their question is, "God, why aren't you hearing me? God looks down at them and he answers them this. It's not because your actions are wrong. It's because your attitude is wrong. He just gets right to the point. Look, he says in verse 3, you do as you please on the day of your fast, and you oppress all of your workers. In other words, you're fasting, you're doing the right thing, but your heart is not in it. Your attitude is not right. You do whatever you want. You stop from eating, but you're still a horrible person to those who work for you. Your attitude is wrong, and fasting is a discipline of attitude. Even before you skip a meal, even before you stop and deny yourself, you have to ask, Lord, am I doing this with the right heart and the right motives? When we teach our children and grandchildren, when we teach our Sunday school class, when we disciple others, our goal is always not for an action change, but for an attitude change. It's always not just to change what they're doing, but change how they're believing and thinking and line themselves up with the Word of God. I have a lot of good actions. I could probably list, if I wanted to, as Paul did in Philippians, list all the good things I do. And I cheat as a pastor because I have more opportunity sometimes than others. People come to me for help or for advice or prayer, and I could probably list all of those things. But if you could see the inside of my heart sometimes, it's the right attitude or the right action, but not the right attitude. Very few people can see through your actions into your attitude. Yesterday was Valentine's Day. How many of you all had a great Valentine's Day with your significant other? I hope you did. We had a very relaxing and lazy Valentine's Day, which is exactly how we planned it. It was wonderful. You know, as we were thinking of different things to do on Valentine's Day, I confessed to Hannah, I said, you know, really, we've never been big Valentine's Day people. I said, I don't take you out to eat anymore. We've done that before, but it's always busy and we always complain. And we're just not real big do over the top things. I didn't buy her anything fancy. How many flowers did I get you yesterday, Hannah? Zero. What a bum husband I am, you know? And we're talking about this. And I do this because I know my wife, and she shares with me, we're not big people. And she's told me before, I'd rather you send me flowers on a random day of the year than send them to me on Valentine's Day. That's just how our personality and relationship works. But I feel like a bum husband because my actions, I don't feel like are reflecting my heart. My heart is I love you and I want to do whatever I can for you. But my actions seem to speak differently. You know, and as we're talking about that, I realize there's very few people that can see my heart the way my wife can. And I'm thankful that she wasn't disappointed. She wasn't mad. She wasn't upset. She was a little relieved that I wasn't trying to drag her out to eat. She was a little relieved that we weren't having to hustle and bustle. She said it's kind of nice to be in comfortable clothes and just sit and have a day to ourselves. We don't do that very often. Very few people can see past your actions and into your attitude. You can fool a lot of people with your fasting, with your religious works. You can fool a lot of people doing all the right things. But there are a few people who will always see the motivation behind it. We serve a God who sees past our actions. And He doesn't care. Let me strike that. He does care. But He's less concerned with doing A, B, C, and D. What He's concerned with is, are you repenting and do you have the right heart? We have a former student of ours and we still keep in contact with her. And she made her fair share of mistakes when she was in high school. She was constantly coming to Hannah and saying, I did this and I shouldn't have and I need to repent. And Hannah's discipling her and counseling her. And we always kind of said, yeah, we love her and she's one day going to get on the right track. We hope one day she'll get there. You know, she is one of the most faithful college students now that we've ever had. She's doing it and living it, and her actions are now reflecting her heart. We've got another former student of ours who always did the right thing, straight A student, never got in any trouble, never did anything wrong. And now you follow her in college and you can see her real heart coming through, and she's kind of straying away from things that the church teaches. And we look back and we say, who was the better example of what Christ did? The one who constantly falls but repents, or the one who feels no need to repent? You know, our fasting is less about whether we fall. It's less about whether we mess up. It's less about whether we are perfect and more about what our heart and our actions do. It's more about, am I wanting to have a right relationship with God? Fasting then is a reminder of several things, and we're going to look at three reminders that God tells the people of Israel fasting is a reminder of in Isaiah 58. When we get our attitude right, we fast. We put the action in place to remind us of three things. First, fasting is a reminder that God is the provider. Fasting is a reminder that God is the provider. Verses 5, 6, and 7 are our three reminders this morning. And in verse 5, God is sharing with us that He is the one who gives all good things. Verse 5 says, "Will the fast I choose be like this? A person to deny himself, to bow his head like a reed, and to spread out sackcloth and ashes. Will you call this a fast and a day acceptable to the Lord?" Fasting is a day to deny yourself, to sit down and say, it's not about what I can do on my own. I set out to fast when I was preparing for this message several years ago, the first time I preached on fasting. And I decided I was going to do a 3-day fast. 3 days. I can make it 3 days without food. I can't make it 3 days without a cell phone, but I can certainly make it 3 days without food, right? And I set out and I did good at first. That first day was hard. But you know, it wasn't hard because I was hungry. It wasn't hard because I wanted something to eat to fill my stomach. It was hard because I habitually just pick up things and eat them. You know, things are laying around the house and you have a habit, you walk past that candy jar and you grab a piece of candy and you put it back because you're fasting. The girls pick up something to eat, they eat whatever they're going to eat and they never finish it all. And what's the first thing you do? You reach and you're going to finish your French fries. You put it back down because you know you can't. It's this kind of trying to figure out to break these habits and to deny myself. As the time went on into day two, my need started kicking in and my stomach started saying, you need to eat something. My body started saying, you need some nourishment. And all of a sudden, I had broken the habit of just picking anything up and my desires had come in. You know, our purpose in fasting is to feel that need. It's to feel that desire. When we fast, we should do it to the point where we really yearn for that meal. Because what it reminds us of is that we did not provide that meal for ourselves. God created us with the purpose of having need. He created us with the purpose of wanting to eat. Food is a great thing. We're in a Baptist church and we eat every time we do anything special. Food is a God-given blessing. And it's something we take for granted. It's something that we just assume is always there. We just forget that God has provided so much for us. Fasting is a time for us to sit back and say, I'm going to do without so I realize how blessed I am that God provides my every need. When we fast, we need to be careful not to fast just for such a short amount of time that we break the habits but miss out on the need and the yearning and the desire. The need gets greater and it gets greater and it gets greater. By day three, I was supposed to make it all the way through that day. And Hannah the temptress said, why don't you just have something other than water? Just drink a Coke or drink some tea. You know, thank you for tempting me. You know, it got more than that. I realized my need for that food and I realized my need for a taste of something. And it went from drinking a drink of tea to eating a cracker and breaking my fast early. Because my discipline was such that I needed to provide on my own. We need to remember that God provides all things for us. We can go and look for it on our own. We can go and yearn to find, but God is the one ultimately who gives us all good things. When we deny ourselves, we realize it's not about us, it's about Him. Secondly, in verse 6, we see fasting as a reminder that our sins need forgiven. Fasting is a reminder that our sins need forgiven. Verse 6, God gets to the root of the attitude of fasting. He says, isn't the fast I choose to break the chains of wickedness, to untie the ropes of the yoke, you could even insert the yoke of sin, to set the oppressed free and to tear off every yoke? The point of fasting is to realize that we don't have to live how we used to. You know, we used to give in to our desires. We used to give in to the things we wanted to do. And the desires have not changed. The temptations are still there. But in Christ, we don't have to give in to them any longer. We now can say no. We now have the strength through Christ to overcome. You know, sin is an interesting thing. Sin is something that is enticing. It tempts us. But sin is interesting because when you indulge in sin, let's admit this for a minute, you enjoy it. Can we admit that? Is it okay that your pastor admits that from the pulpit? Sometimes when I indulge in sin, it's enjoyable. If it wasn't, we wouldn't sin, would we? If every time we sin, God struck us with lightning, I think we'd stop sinning, wouldn't we? Sin is enjoyable. Dabbling in that, there's a good feeling that comes with that. And so we have this natural desire, and our natural heart is to give in. Our natural heart is to indulge. Fasting reminds us that we no longer have to give in. The interesting thing about sin is it satisfies for a moment. It satisfies us in the moment. But eventually, that satisfaction always fades. Always. I've never, ever in my entire life, indulged in a sin and had it last eternally, or at least the duration of my life, in pleasure. Eventually it gets old and eventually it wears off. The prodigal son, he had his moment of glory, didn't he? He set out and he lived it up. His sin was desirable. But ultimately, it left him wanting. This morning, we have a reminder when we fast that our sins need to be forgiven. That those desires we have, whether it be for food or whatever it else may be, can be resisted in Christ. This verse in verse 6 tells us that we're going to break the chains of wickedness. We're going to untie the ropes of the yoke of sin. We're going to free ourselves. The fasting does not forgive us. The attitude towards Christ gives us this freedom. When we fast, we realize we no longer have to live in that sin, that we can overcome and our sins can be forgiven. And finally, fasting is a reminder that others' needs are great. Others' needs are great. Verse 7, God continues to speak to the people. Fasting, is it not to share your bread with the hungry, to bring the poor and homeless into your house, to clothe the naked when you see him, and not to ignore your own flesh and blood? As we look at this specific purpose in fasting, God says, when you are doing without, it ought to remind you that there are people in your own community and certainly throughout the world that do without every single day. It's a reminder again that God has blessed us immensely, that God has given us so much, and that there are needs far greater than our own. Can I just say publicly, I'm proud of our youth. I'm proud of our high school students who are going to be taking next weekend to go 30 hours without eating for a sake to remind them that there are people all over the world that regularly go 30 hours without eating or longer. To remind them that God provides all good things and that in their moment of hunger, that desire they have is a reminder that God regularly fulfills that desire. I'm proud of our students, and I think you ought to be too. You ought to be praying for them next weekend, participating with them if you're able to. You ought to be supporting them. You can support them through your prayers. You can support them as they raise money to meet the needs of people around the world. You can give through the offering this morning simply by marking on an envelope, this is going to the 30-hour famine next weekend. You can give to them and their projects so that they can meet the needs of others. And as we go hungry, we can be reminded, God, you give great things. We have so much that we take for granted for. Fasting is not something we do because it's a religious check mark. As a matter of fact, if you're thinking I'll fast next weekend because a pastor preached a sermon on it, don't do it. Your actions mean nothing. Your attitude and your heart means everything. This morning, as we look at the purpose of fasting, it's really less about fasting at all. You're going to leave today and you're going to go get a bite to eat. Some of you all are more hungry this morning than you normally are because we've talked so much about it. You're going to leave here and you're going to go have a big lunch. I am. You're going to go and you're going to gorge yourself like you always do every Sunday morning after church. You're either going to go out to eat, you're going to go home, you're going to either fix a sandwich, maybe you've got a big meal planned, and you're going to sit in your comfortable homes. As we do, it's not as if this message has to wait till next week when you fast. Instead, we need to examine our hearts today. We need to examine our hearts in this moment. Lord, regardless of what my actions show, is my attitude right? Am I prostrating myself? am I laying before you and saying, God, my heart is yours? Something really strange will happen if you literally lay down and say, God, my life is yours. And that is, He'll take it. Your actions will change. Your attitude will overflow, and the things that you do will line up with His word. You don't have to worry about, am I doing things right or am I doing things wrong? If your attitude is inclined towards Christ, your actions will follow. This morning, we need to examine our hearts. Lord, am I in a right attitude towards you? With every head bowed and every eye closed, as we get ready for our time of invitation, that's the question on our lips. Father, we come to you this morning and we ask you to change our heart. We ask you to put aside all the exterior that we have. But we ask you to see past all our failures. And we ask that you give us forgiveness because we seek you with all of our heart. Lord, we know that we need to change our actions. Lord, we know that there are things we do that are not pleasing to you. And we know that ultimately you're calling us to live better lives. But in this moment, right here, right now, Lord, I just pray that you would change our hearts to want to know you. Lord, I thank you that you provide all good things. There's nothing on this earth that we have that's not been given by you. Every desire that is fulfilled is because you are fulfilling it. Lord, I thank you because we are blessed beyond what others are blessed for. But in that blessing, we can often look past our sins. Lord, I pray that you help us see we can overcome our desire to sin, that we no longer have to live that way. But if we follow your word and put our hearts towards you, you forgive us of that sin, completely wipe our guilt out. Lord, I pray that you would help us then be aware of the needs of others in our community and around the world. Let us look with different eyes as we see those who regularly go without and don't have the things that we take for granted. Lord, as we prepare our hearts to fast, either physically or just internally, Lord, help us to see that everything that you've given to us, everything is a gift, and let us not take it for granted. Lord, we pray for the individuals in here this morning that you're working on their hearts, that you're showing them that their actions don't have to be a reflection of their attitude, that their attitude can change and you'll take care of all the rest down the road. Lord, speak to their heart this morning and help them just to confess, Lord, I need you. We ask now that you would lead us as we worship you through this song and help our attitudes to be one of praise. It's in your name we pray. Amen.